Blog Talk Radio.
Now, get ready to own your career with meeting coach and master networking guru, Rod Colon, for his weekly summit for the CEO of Meet Inc. For the next 60 minutes, Rod will cover topics critical to managing your career as the CEO of Meet Inc.
Good evening! You're listening to Own Your Career Prime Time. Monday, July 14, 2014. This is Rod Colon from Jackson, New Jersey on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls tonight at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Producing our show tonight is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez, and tonight's theme is It's Work. How will you show up? And our guest this evening is a good friend of mine and for many years, Kelly Cornish. And Kelly is an author, HR expert, speaker, mom, confidant, mentor, mentee, matchmaker, career advisor, and panel of one, and so much more, too. A driven, experienced, and successful HR leader with a proven track record working at some of the biggest names in healthcare across the country. Kelly has a career for the books. In fact, it's a book. It works. How Will You Show Up is just recently wrapped up with her co-author, and you can get it on Amazon and iTunes and eBooks. You know, and Kelly's mission is to help you make the most of your career by sharing her personal and professional experiences, tried and true tips, and expert opinions. Kelly is a National Diversity and Inclusion and Human Resources Executive in healthcare, promoting diversity and inclusion, understanding within the communities and organization, leading affirmative action efforts, advocating for flexible work arrangements, and seeking connection points for good talent within the workforce, community organizations, and on board of directors. So welcome to Own Your Career, Kelly Cornish. How are you?
I am great, Rod. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing really well.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this for many years, and it's great to have you on. We've known each other through a colleague of ours, Vanvette Anderson, and sure enough, you know, to networking. And I've always, you know, found you, as far as an HR executive, always to be upbeat, positive, always looking at the glass half full. So how you been?
Wow, it's been busy. It's been busy. It's been, I'll use the word prosperous, you know, always trying to move things forward, to your point. And thank you. It's been good. You know, it's been a career, as they say, for the books. It's never easy, but it's always fulfilling. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to get at a good place to begin to start sharing information in print
right.
with people, you know, along the way. You know, you've done that. And so here I am. So I'm delighted to have an opportunity to just talk with the listeners and just kind of dig deep into this.
Yeah, before we get into the book, and we'll have some time on that, just wanted to kind of cover some of the basics and how did you get into human resources? You know, I work with, as you know, quite a few students in high school and colleges, and they're always asking me about HR and as a profession and the trends and, you know, should this be an area that I go into? I love working with people. You know, what sort of advice do you give our college students about HR?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I never really paid attention to that particular question until recently when I wrote the book and people were asking me, you know, how did you get here? And I've started saying that HR sort of found me because my undergrad degree is in business administration with a focus in management and a minor in a concentration in management and a minor in marketing. And so, you know, when I started out, everything that I did was really around business administration. You know, I spent some time in banking, spent some time in with the government, and but then I knew I wanted to get a master's. But a thread, a common thread that I always had was working around something back then was called minority affairs, and then it turned into affirmative action, and now it's this popular word called diversity and inclusion. And so I said I wanted something that I could stay true to my passion around helping women, small business owners, emerging populations grow. And so I wanted to get a master's, but I couldn't find anything with those buzzwords in it except HR. So when I went to look for a master's program, I found the master's in human resources, and when I talked to the business advisor, we landed very early on I would begin to write my thesis around diversity. So I got a master's in human resource management really in 2005. However, along the way, I was always leading people. I was always around people. I was always in a leadership role, whether it was in the community, whether it was in the workplace. So it all sort of kind of, you know, it came together. So I would tell someone that's emerging, those people that are in college or they're coming out and they're trying to figure out, you know, what should I do? Should it be HR? First of all, do you like people? Do you like leading people? Do you like being in the space around making things happen for people? Then HR is for you. And then you have to begin to think about what is it about HR that you really want to gravitate to. For me, it was the whole diversity and inclusion piece. So, you know, HR is such a big component of the workforce. But within HR is so many tiny pieces, and then you have to kind of drill down into that. So, you know, HR and I sort of found each other, I guess, along my journey of discovering, you know, really what I wanted to do. Realistically, I thought I was going to end up with a master's in international business when I first got out of college because I was, again, really looking to find something around the whole diversity and just different cultural experiences. But here I am with a master's in human resource management. So it's a journey. Everything in life is a journey. And sometimes you don't find it right away. I didn't find that right away, but I was always in the space. So. Was that the next question?
Kelly, just
yes.
Running into some technical situations here with as far as the thunderstorms that are approaching the Jackson, New Jersey. So I had to go to my backup. So I was listening in, and they just flipped the emergency backup line as well. So
okay.
No problem. Now, one of the things, Kelly, that I'm always thinking about and working with students and working with professionals, and you've been in the center of, you know, hiring. What are some comments or at least advice that you give individuals in transition, right? We've always talked about owning your career, being the CEO of me.
Right.
What sort of ideas or thoughts do you have those professionals who are like, you know, I wish I can get a leg up or an advantage or kind of go that way. How do we work that out?
You know, that's part of what I call you're almost like in the hunt. And I know we're jumping ahead just a little bit probably, but I'm a little anxious about the book. But I sort of frame that conversation about, you know, you're out there, you're in transition, it's a hunt. It's almost like, you know, it's any other type of challenge. A couple of things that I hold true to is, you know, plan each day of that search while you're in transition as if it's your first day on a new job. You know, so what does that look like? Your first day on a new job, you're very excited, you're anxious. It's something new, you want to meet someone new, you want to learn something new, and that's almost how you want to approach the whole, you know, search process. You have to get up with a mindset that today is a new day, and I need to plan it as if today is the first day at a new job. And it gets tough when you're in day like 482. And I say that because I know what day 482 looks like.
Right.
But you have to get up in a mindset and say, okay, today is the first day. Always be ready for the unknown. I think that you never know what that day is going to bring. You never know what call is going to be made, come your way, what email is going to come your way these days, what text is going to come your way with that opportunity. So, always being ready to give a response and to give an answer around those relationships. And this is your big thing, and I'll never forget just in the relationship that you and I had when we were working together is, those relationships that you build early on when you don't need people are the ones that you really need to key in on,
right,
in this process. And that is just so true. I'm working with my son now who graduates in December from college, and I'm like, go back to those freshman year relationships. Those are ones that are really important now because they've seen you transition, from that 18-year-old to now a 22-year-old. And so they know your worth. They know your value. So it's some things that we probably take for granted. And those are the same things that I see, sitting behind an HR desk every day.
Mm-hmm.
When someone comes to us and they sit down, whether it's in a panel interview or it's a one-on-one interview, and you see it all the time, hire for character and you can train for skill. And that's so true. Because I think that through relationships with people, you can see character.
Sure.
And so those are some of the things that just right off the top that I would just tell people to really be mindful of.
You're listening to Own Your Career Prime Time on July 14th. This is Rod Colon from Jackson, New Jersey on Blog Talk Radio. That's online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. And producing our show tonight is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez. And our guest tonight is Kelly Cornish. And tonight's theme is It's Work, How Will You Show Up? And that's a book that Kelly and her colleague Myron Roll recently have put together. Kelly, it's a little bit about LinkedIn and networking, right, from
mm-hmm.
that perspective. How do you network? What's your style of networking? I get that, quite a bit as far as what should I do and how do I network and how I follow up. How do you like to network in your style?
For me, I'm a very, relational person. I just, and it goes back to, if someone were to go to my website, they would say, okay, they wrote this piece on her about being a cheerleader in college. Okay, so yes, that's true. I've always been one that's like out there cheering people on and saying, okay, like you said earlier, you always see the glass, half full. And I do. I network around situations. I'm always one to look for. I had a friend tell me, "You always have a project going on. What is it that you're doing now?" But I find that there's my work, but then there's opportunities for me to always enhance my skills. So, we talk all the time. Well, you mentioned that I'm part of SHRM, Society of Human Resource Management. That was huge for me. That was not just an opportunity for me to be a part of something bigger than me, but it's also an opportunity for me to sharpen skills that I didn't get an opportunity to do at work, to handle budgets, to deal with boards of directors, to do succession planning when I was just in a very siloed role around diversity and inclusion where I was just doing D&I work. This allowed me to really network and build relationships around other people from larger companies and develop skill sets I didn't have before. And I can honestly tell you, when I was out in the job market, more people would ask me questions about that part of my life, that part of my work experience, than the work experience that I was doing from 9 to 5. So, you know, when I think about networking, I think about what are those things that you can do to enhance skills that you either have or skills that you want to develop. And that can be through trade associations. That can be at your community library where you're part of a group. That can be through your church. That I teach at my church with women and youth ministries. That enhances my teaching. That really helped me overcome some of my fear with public speaking because that was a safe place. So, you know, it's so many ways that you can network and start in those places that you feel very comfortable and safe having conversations with people.
Right.
So we talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great. But again, LinkedIn is an electronic tool. Let's be clear. You still at some point have to have face-to-face conversations with people. And when you come to interview with people, you have to have face-to-face conversations. When you work, you have to have face-to-face conversations with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you know,
LinkedIn is then becomes the tool that is the follow-up after having that wonderful conversation.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And still at the end of the day, I mean, I love social media. It has really come in and taken our world by storm. But at the end of the day, it's still about can you sit down and negotiate, you know, what you need, when you need it, how you need it, you know, as you say, you know, to own your career. And that is an intelligent conversation with someone.
Sure.
You know? So,
Kelly, a couple of things. You know, we'll after the break, we're going to go into the book and all the details there. So I want to kind of use the last few minutes just to kind of ask some of these traditional questions that are asked of HR or you know, the bugaboos, right?
Right, right.
When HR says that we'll get back to you, you know, from a perspective of an interview or a follow-up, and they don't give you a timeline, And many times, not many times, but there are occasions that the individual doesn't know how to follow up or what to say. So if I'm interviewing with you and you say, well, Rod, we'll be getting back to you in a week, and it's now a month later, what's appropriate for me to do as a general HR practice to say, you know, I don't want you to feel like I'm stalking you, but at the same time, I feel I'm owed some type of feedback. What should I do?
So a couple of things you should do. Never leave it in the hands of the person who just said, I will get back to you. So there should always be an immediate touch point from your perspective. So we always know to follow up with a thank you. And I always say, and this is in my book, you know, a handwritten note still wins every time. For me to go to my mailbox, because very seldom do I get actual like snail mail anymore. So for me to walk by, and I walk by like two or three times a day to say, anybody actually send me something today? I do. I go up to the receptionist. I'm like, do I actually have anything? So for me to get something, it's like rare.
Right.
So for people to actually to get something outside of inner office mail is like few and far between. So for someone to get these days a handwritten note is like, wow, it's so powerful. So within, you know, two or three days, for that to show up in someone's mailbox and on their desk is still huge. That still speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And it's nothing wrong with usually the last person that you leave is usually the hiring manager. So it's nothing wrong with you going back to the recruiter where you started with, you know, your entry point.
Sure.
And going back within a couple of days and saying, you know, thank you. You know, I appreciate the opportunity. Could you please let me know when will you all, you know, what is the next step or when should I expect to hear back? and they'll respond, and it's nothing wrong with you saying, well, if I don't hear from you, if they say within 7 days, and you say, well, if I don't hear from you within 10 days, is it okay for me to follow up with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they know that you're not stalking them, but you are being proactive about your career. And so it's just, again, just putting some check, I call them touch points or checkpoints, at check-in points in place. And really, I can tell you, it some processes take, it depends on where they are in the budget season. It depends on how quickly they need to fill a role. It all depends on, and I can ask someone if they're coming in like March to interview, and if someone's in a fiscal year, and you know the fiscal year ends June 30th, that means they're probably trying to make a hire by July 1. So realistically, you're probably not going to hear anything till like June 15th. Let's be clear. So,
sure.
You know, it's trying to understand where the organization is, what they're trying to do. If they're on a calendar year, they start bringing people in near the end of, you know, the year, around October, November, because then they know how much money they have left, or they may be able to kind of string people along, let you, like, really work yourself to death until the end of the year, and then they'll bring you in around January after the holidays. So when I ask people, you know, who are you interviewing with, and I'll realistically, I say, you know, you probably won't hear anything until January because they're on the calendar year. So, you know, to kind of understand the company
right.
and where they are and what's priority at that time is helpful too. So those are just some tips that I've learned along the way.
Excellent. Last item or last question before we go to break is one that we've been spending some time on it related to employee referrals, right? So we talk about and we coach and teach that when we see a really good opportunity inside an organization, that before submitting it into the corporate portal,
right.
that we look to see if we know someone inside the organization and go for an employee referral and leveraging the employee referral program of the organization. Can you talk a little bit to that space and how important that is? And is it value? Is it valuable for the candidate as well as the internal referral? Thoughts on that?
Yes. So, you know, really employee referral programs, they are huge. And, you know, for obvious reasons, because they feel like you're not going to bring them bad people. That's just long story short. So if I can vouch for, you know, if Rod calls me and says, you know, I have this great person, can you, you know, help us get this person at least to the recruiter? Can you find out something on this requisition number that we found? And then, you know, I can go and really what that does is helps kind of get you through all the red tape, through that black, so you don't fall into that black hole of that, you know, thank you for submitting your application, you know. And it allows you to kind of navigate pretty quickly. And it also allows you to really find out if the requisition or if the job is really open or it just got stuck and is still out there, or really what is going on with it. So, I mean, it serves a couple of purposes. It's great to have someone on the inside that can really tell you or get to someone that can tell you what's going on. I can tell you also that some organizations, the higher up you go when trying to get someone in, the referral doesn't really matter because some people aren't eligible for a referral bonus if they're already bonus eligible.
Right.
So, you know, so sometimes it's okay, well, let me do what I can, but they're not going to press as much as someone that's, you know, at a certain level in the organization and say, wow, this extra $500 would be really, really good for me. You know what I mean? So let me begin to really press in and see what I can find. So, but at the same time, those people at the higher up in the organization, they're going through emails like, you know, every 5 minutes, like 50 emails that are coming through. You know, they have a lot of activity that's going on. So it's a little challenging, but, again, those are the ones that can make a phone call, too, and say, tell me what's going on with this. So, yes, it's great if you can have someone in the organization that can kind of champion for you to kind of navigate, and getting to the right person is always a good thing. And then it's sometimes people in there that they're clueless. They have no idea what's going on, and they can't tell you, you know, how to find HR. So,
sure.
You know, so it all depends. But if you
can
get to the right person, yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
great.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Kelly about her book. We're all excited about that. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from Jackson, New Jersey. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. And for the first caller with a question, we're going to make sure that they get a copy of Kelly's book as well. We'll be right back.
Your future customers are searching online for your product or service right now. What will they find? Will they find you? Chatterbug Media is an internet marketing agency that gets you noticed online. From mobile responsive websites to search engine optimization to social media to content marketing, we can help. Call Chatterbuzz Media at 321-236-BUZZ. That's 321-236-2899. Or visit us online at chatterbuzzmedia.com.
Are you looking for a coach to help take your career to the next level? Or a motivational speaker to make your next event more successful? Then reach out to Rod Colon, career coach and motivational speaker. Rod has a unique perspective on what it takes to succeed in today's global economy, a perspective built on over 25 years of experience as a corporate HR management insider, agency recruiter, master networker, motivational speaker, and career coach. In demand for his coaching and motivational abilities, Rod demonstrates the power of networking as a giving and sharing activity, and aggressively challenges professionals to be relentless in building their networking skills while managing their careers as a business. The CEO of Me Incorporated. To find out more about Rod's services, go to rodcolon.com or call 732-367-5580. That's go to rodcolon.com. RodColon.com or call 732-367-5580.
Welcome back to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon online on Blog Talk Radio and online at blogtalkradio.com/Own Your Career. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. And tonight's theme is It's Work. How will you show up? And my guest tonight is my good friend Kelly Cornish. And Kelly, tell us a little bit about, you know, the book and how did it start and the idea and the genesis of it, and let's start from there.
Wow, yeah, so, you know, for a few years I have been sort of playing around with the idea of publishing or being an author, and but I had no idea what I wanted to write about. You know, everybody wants to write a book or they want to be in a movie or, you know, something like that, something grand, something bigger than them. And so I, you know, I have two boys. I didn't know if it would have something to do with that. You know, I'm busy and with work and everything. I said, I'm not sure if it will be that. And so I guess for the last 18 months, I became really, really engaged with just sort of being out and about with work across the country, and then just part of my trade associations, and just happened to be on different panels or speaking or being involved with conferences. And some of the same themes kept coming up, very similar to some of the questions you asked me earlier. So I think it was really out of fatigue. I was coming back around this time last year from D.C. I was on the train, and I said, you know, I'm really repeating myself. I'll be really transparent. I said, I'm tired of repeating myself. I'm just going to type out these tips of what someone can do if they're looking for a job, if they've landed and now they're in their job, or if it's time to move on and they're ready to do something else. And finally, by the way, what if life happens? And it's just time to just really decide which way I'm going to go with this fork in the road. And the train ride was about, you know, a little under 2 hours coming back from D.C. into Philly, and I just started typing. I just started typing. And then I closed the computer, closed my eyes to try and grab about 30 minutes of sleep, and my prayer was answered. God was like, that's your book. And I said, well, no, it can't be the book, because that was just, like, way too easy. It didn't take as long. You know, it's supposed to take hours. It's supposed to be on the beach. It's supposed to be thinking. The waves are supposed to be crashing, you know. And I was like, wow. And so I thought about it some more, and about a week later, I really massaged it a little bit, and simultaneously, I was in a mentoring relationship with a colleague at work who was with us for about a year in an administrative fellowship program, and he was in my office, and we were talking, and his story is just a phenomenal story. So I have a co-author, Myron Roll, and he and I, we had talked about different projects, you know, after he finished his fellowship with us. And just very quickly, his story, you know, he was just this outstanding, you know, athlete at Florida State, finished in 2.5 years, had the opportunity, he played football, had the opportunity to either go to the NFL or take the Rhodes Scholarship. And, I mean, he was predicted to go first-round draft pick. Now, if I back up, before he went to Florida State, he had 83 scholarship offers right out of high school. Wow. For Division I football. So, you know, this was just an amazing athlete. And so he chose the Rhodes Scholarship over the NFL. So he went to Oxford, completed there for a year, completed the program there, then went to the NFL, played there for 4 years, and then said, you know what, you know, I really want to fulfill my dream of becoming a doctor, a neurosurgeon. So he retires early at the ripe age of 26.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, decides he was going to, you know, sit for the MCAT. And during that time, he had the opportunity to come and work with our organization. And our leader at the time, our CEO at the time, introduced us, because I was familiar with working with fellows, administrative fellows. So as the divine would happen, you know, nothing just happens as divine would have it. We worked together, and it was his first time in corporate America. And so a lot of the principles I talk about in the book and those different seasons that employee, we call in HR the employee life cycle, you know, whether you're looking for a job, once you've landed, again, when it's time to move on, or whether life happens, he had gone through that employee life cycle without even knowing what it was at such a very early stage in his life. So I introduced the manuscript to him. He looked at it and he said, I would love to put my story in the book as like the case study.
Right.
So he's the co-author of the book. We sent it to a publisher. They took it right away. They started working on it. A former COO of mine, who's a great mentor, Gavin Kerr, I took it to him. And it still had a lot of edits, but I took it to him, and right away he said, yes, Kelly, I love it. I asked him to write the foreword. He wrote the foreword. He's now the CEO of a large nonprofit here in the Philadelphia area. So it all came together very quickly, and now we have a book that was released last month called It's Work, How Will You Show Up? And it's really what it's in the subtitle is 99 Tips, Turns, and Lessons Learned from a Panel of One. And it's really 99 tips, turns, and lessons learned. Some of the things I've learned in almost, I can't believe I'm saying this, almost 20 years of being in the workplace and seeing how to navigate through. And again, Myron being the case study throughout.
Sure.
The various sections. It's a quick read. It's 56 pages. It's intended for you to read it in no more than 90 minutes. It shouldn't take you that long. If you're a traveler, whether you take the bus, whether you take the train or the plane or automobile, hopefully you're not driving and reading. But, you know, just, you know, you may find yourself in a section of that book and say, this is for me right now in this season of my life. And the last thing I would say is each section ends with a game plan. So it says, you know, this is my game plan, and it really makes you stop after you read the section and put some application to it, and it forces you to list your intended goal, you know, my to-do list, which will be your objectives, what you're going to do to accomplish that goal, your timeline, and then finally, success. How will I know I'm successful? What does success look like? And so, you know, again, it's intended to really be a working document for you,
mm-hmm.
and all sections might not be for you. Hopefully you're not in all sections at one time. And so it's really a guide, and I've been getting some great feedback from people who just picked it up one day and the next day emailed me and said, Kelly, wow, you know, you did
sure.
it. You nailed it. So that's pretty much the book.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, help us out. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. We have a copy of its work, How Will You Show Up, by Kelly Cornish and Myron Rowe for the first caller. Kelly, my question is, give us a little, like, what section or part really, you know, when Myron read it and the gentleman, the COO, you know, what one area or section kind of really is scintillating that they're like, yeah, this is great. Give us a little bit about that.
I think, I would say, even if we look at, I will start off with the hunt. And if I just can quickly read, the opening paragraph, with Myron, it says, The Will to Prepare by Myron Roll. My parents, Whitney and Beverly Roll, permanently moved our family to the United States of America from the Bahamas when I was very young. Two parents, five boys, Bohemian accents, and conch salad had now come to New Jersey. I love the Bahamas. My parents love the Bahamas, but they believed America was a land wrought with new opportunities for our family at that time. However, my parents did not park too long at the concept of abundant opportunities being present in America. Instead, they hardwired into me and my brothers that successful people were the ones that were prepared to take advantage of their opportunities. Then he goes on to talk about his scholarships. And then he says, fast forward 5 years, when Kelly Cornish and the president of a leading healthcare solutions company were seeking a young, recent college grad to fill the inaugural position of administrative fellow. I evoked my parents' prepare for the opportunity methodology and readied my resume, application, wardrobe, and talking points. If this healthcare solutions provider was on, quote, the hunt, I was ready to give them something worth hunting. And then I went on to say, we call these areas of how I pretty much coached him was my Myron moment. So Myron was preparing to join our team and knew there was a process to be followed. He started by following directions, and I went on to say that the president told him to contact me, and it just went on to show how by following directions of what was given, then he was successful, because there's so many people that they miss a step. And when you're working with someone very senior, you can't miss a step, because they're watching, number one, not to see if you can do the job, but to see if you can follow directions. And that was so key in this, with this particular role. So, you know, and just went through the things that we think that really don't matter. So, number one, you know, did you return the call? Did you schedule a meeting? Did you ask the right questions? Did you schedule a follow-up call? Did you get the paperwork in? Did you do your pre-work test? I mean, everything is a test. Everything is a test. And if you can get past that, then, oh, by the way, maybe we'll call you and make you an offer. So, you know, and then I go on to tell you different tips, you know, always have resumes printed and saved electronically at all times. You know, have a resume with a summary at the top rather than objective at the top. So after we start with, like, the case, then I go into different principles on, you know, how to prepare for that hunt. And so, you know, after the CEO read, like, the opening of what the hunt would be, he was like, Kelly, you know, people need to understand that it is really important. If I'm going to refer someone into this organization, I don't care what age they are, they just need to understand what it takes to just follow just very simple directions, you know? So I think that was the beginning of the book. And then it just goes into, you know, what happens next. And then the next season, and then the next season.
Right.
So, again, quick, very quick tips. But I can tell you, Rod, that a friend of mine that recently retired, moved to the area, was not working, but had been through some huge changes in her life. She had been through a divorce. She was new to this area. She picked up the book and read it, and she said, Kelly, you know, this isn't just for a career. This is for someone that is just going through a season of change, because it shows you that if you can just be resilient and follow different steps and then work out the plan, then you can see a change. She said, I wish I would have had it when I first moved here and didn't know anybody. It would have been like a guide for me to help me with change.
Sure.
So that was pretty powerful for me to hear.
Absolutely. Now, Kelly, two things. One is it seems and it appears to me that what we talk about, owning your career, being the CEO of Me, Inc., understanding your value, understanding your brand, it's right in line with what your book talks about.
Right. It is.
Right there.
It is.
And,
it is.
Yeah. And also that this is not just for, you know, mid-career professionals, executives. This is, you know, for high school and college students as well. You know, so along the line here, they can all find, you know, tips, these 99 tips that are applicable for themselves as well.
Absolutely. And then you get into areas of life. And this is usually, I don't want to say it happens, you know, when you're, you know, in your 30s, 40s, but in the final section, in section four, it's called, you know, but wait, there's more when life happens. And the subtitle is For the Righteous Falls Seven Times and Rises Again. And the first section just says sometimes change can be difficult. Sometimes flexibility is not the most comfortable option. But during these times, we may speak or behave in the wrong manner. It has happened to all of us, but what are we to do in these settings? Apologize and move on.
Sure.
And it just talks about a situation where I found myself in where, okay, you messed up. So how do you, after you fall, how do you get back up? And so we talk about that crossroads and, you know, what happens in that situation and what do you do when it's time to bounce back? And so, you know, it all happens. It happens to all of us, rather, and we have
does.
To be prepared. And we have it to be prepared
does.
And know what that looks like. So,
nice,
you know,
great stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with Kelly and kind of find out how to get the book and how to reach out to Kelly directly and all of that. And when we come back, this is Own Your Career with Rod Colone online on blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. And we'll take some questions as well from our callers. We'll be right back.
Your future customers are searching online for your product or service right now. What will they find? Will they find you? Chatterbuzz Media is an internet marketing agency that gets you noticed online. From mobile responsive websites, to search engine optimization, to social media, to content marketing, we can help. Call Chatterbuzz Media at 321-236-BUZZ. That's 321-236-2899. Or visit us online at chatterbuzzmedia.com.
Are you looking for a coach to help take your career to the next level? Or a motivational speaker to make your next event more successful? Then reach out to Rod Colone, career coach and motivational speaker. Rod has a unique perspective on what it takes to succeed in today's global economy. A perspective built on over 25 years of experience as a corporate HR management insider, agency recruiter, master networker, motivational speaker and career coach. In demand for his coaching and motivational abilities, Rod demonstrates the power of networking as a giving and sharing activity, and aggressively challenges professionals to be relentless in building their networking skills while managing their careers as a business. The CEO of Me Incorporated. To find out more about Rod's services, go to rodcolon.com or call 732-367-5580. That's go to rodcolon.com, rodcolon.com, or call 732-367-5580.
Welcome back to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. And our producer tonight, doing an awesome job behind the scenes, is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez. And tonight's theme, it's work. How will you show up? With my good friend and human resource executive and author, Kelly Cornish. Kelly, we have a caller. Anthony is on the line. Anthony has a question related to social network. Go on ahead, Anthony. Welcome to Own Your Career.
Hi, good evening. The question, great topic up, and the question is about, the whole approach of developing a network and doing employee referrals, and it's great. So can you say that instead of using time to build up profiles at job boards, it's more productive for the job searcher to just go whole hog, so to speak, and go that direction, or does building social network profiles on job boards like Monster and Dice and things like that, that's just totally not necessary? Any thoughts?
Sure. Kelly, you want to take that a little bit, and then I'll kind of...
Absolutely. I think you need to spend time in both spaces, in all spaces, actually. Having a strong presence in social media is, that's your brand as well. Because it is the new business card, of today. So you definitely need a strong profile there and tweak it, every time you feel the need to. But definitely getting out and actually meeting people, because that's how relationships are formed. We're just human. We're human beings. We're human resources. We have to relate to people. We have to get to know people. And when people know what you're about and they know who you are and they can refer you based on your character and your integrity, that goes so much further than, what they see on a computer screen. So I think it's a combination of the two, but I wouldn't rely solely just on the social media.
Sure. Anthony, that's a great question. Kelly, when you've done quite a bit of hiring, you've been in multiple executive positions where you have recruiting teams part of your staff. I mean, people who submit their resumes through the corporate portal, right, through the online presence, I mean, they're hired every day on a consistent basis. Is that true?
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
So although we may find our odds that if I submit, and we call it within our parlance of Own Your Career and CEO of Me as the black hole, right, so please don't take offense to that, but
right.
There is still a probability of being selected. Although slight, there's still a chance, right? But if we use that portal in combination of knowing people on the inside and leveraging our networking skills and social media and social networking, it just is, you have an advantage. The probability of success is greater. So to Kelly's point, both is absolutely. And as a business owner, if we had the resources, why not have that billboard on the highway branding you, but at the same time, you're going to be speaking with individuals as well. And I think that's we want to do both from that standpoint. So, hey, Anthony, thank you so much for the call, and certainly you got to get a copy as a first caller tonight. You get a copy of It's Work, How Will You Show Up, autographed by Kelly Cornish. So thanks again, Kelly, for that. Thank you, Anthony. Absolutely. You're listening
thank
to
you.
On Your Career.
Thank you.
Prime time, and it's Monday, July 14th. This is Rod Colon, Jackson, New Jersey. We're in the midst of these thunderstorms, and we had to go from an emergency backup plan here. So thanks to really Wanda behind the scenes and making sure that everything is going. I'm kind of operating blind here, and Wanda's taking care of all the details. So big shout out to Wanda and what's going on, and Kelly for just, you know, working well with what's going on behind the scenes here. So, Kelly, I'm excited about this book. How do we get it? You know, what's your next step? Is another book coming on? You know, give us all the details.
Yeah, so I will. So quickly, before I jump into that, it was a couple of things that just really jumped out at me that I wanted to bring to your attention. There is a section of the book that talks about when it's time to move on to your next, and you know, you never want to have this conversation or think about when it's time to move on. But I always say, you know, and one of my key points in here, if they ask you to leave or you know it's time to move on to what we call your next, prepare to negotiate what leaving looks like. Because people just, you know, they just feel like, okay, I have to go. But sometimes you'd be surprised when you sit down and have a conversation. And that's what I was saying earlier about, you know, really having those skills around talking. And so negotiate what that looks like. And then this is really key. Always have one key person in the company that can speak well of your work besides your supervisor, because that will go far when it's time to start applying other places and they ask you to list someone. You need to have someone else that's key, that knows your work, that you feel very comfortable being able to list down. So, you know, just that's something if you're thinking about moving on, start a strategy, your exit strategy. Start thinking of other people that would be key, you know, in your mental Rolodex that you would want to have in your space. So those are just a couple of things that just jumped out at me that
Kelly,
I wanted
that's a great point, and let's just hold that thought a little bit and let's percolate a little bit on that one, because that was a good one. So here I am, I'm working inside an organization, and I have my manager, and you know, I'm a good CEO of me, and I'm always keeping my eyes open, but just listening to Kelly now, one of your 99 tips says, you know, you should always have someone who can back up your value, what you really have done aside from the manager, because it may work out that they don't want to give you a review, especially if you left them, you know, in not good terms, you know, so... But how do I find someone like that? You know, who do I talk to? How do I – here then is the being comfortable being uncomfortable is how do I find someone like that, and how do I actually tell them, you know, would they vouch for my work? Help me out through that.
So that's when you're in there and you're doing work, and I always say, you know, you always want to be able to be comfortable with people and share, but you don't want to – be too comfortable that you share what's private. So, you know, you need to get into relationships with people, and you do that through, you know, getting on committees and task force with other people and hopefully people that are a little bit more senior than you are, because those are the ones that you will want to list if you needed to leave. So, I mean, I always have great relationships that are people that are one level above me. And, you know, sometimes I take them to lunch. You know, we have, you know, just conversations, and I have a great working relationship with them that I would feel very comfortable to say, you know what, when it's time for me to leave the organization, I said, you know, well, I'm leaving, or my time here is over. I would love to be able to utilize you as a reference, if you don't mind, on the project that we worked on, you know, in 2011, 2012 around this particular piece of work. Do you mind? And, you know, as long as you can stick to something that they know your work and you're using them as a reference around a piece of work, I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, no one will say no. So, but it's about the work. So, you know, that's what I've seen that works. And that's what people usually sort of gravitate to.
Right.
So that's what I would say. And
you bring up such a great point related to it's not just the work on your desk, it's beyond.
Absolutely.
So you indicated that some of these individuals that you have, you really developed that relationship, but also that you were working in some community, organizational type programs of work or nonprofit things that the organization was doing that you really got to, you know, and at that senior level.
Right.
How does one identify a group, an organization, an effort, something that the organization is doing, an employee resource group? How does one select that type of a group that's good for them, that they're comfortable and it's the right levels? I mean, how does one decide on, you know, I only have so much time. I got my life, I got home, I got all these things going on, but I'm committed to joining one group, but how do I find the right group?
Right. And again, it's great. It leads right into one of my tips about, you know, you've landed, so how do you use your time strategically? And I say, you know, the time to start looking at your next assignment is usually about 3 months in. Start looking at what else you can be doing to sort of stretch yourself. So you start looking at, to your point, organizations or looking at committees or task force within the organization that will enhance a skill that you may be a little weak in. So for me, it was always, you know, budgets. So what can I do? Can I get on a committee that might be, you know, last 6 months that's aiming toward, you know, saving the organization money? And just going to my leader and saying, you know, this is a skill set that I really want to improve on. Do you mind if I serve on this task force? So it might not always be around those affinity groups. It might be something that's going to push you into your next. So, you know, be very strategic in where you're trying to get to and use your time wisely. Those other groups, they're great, but if you have the time for them, think about where you're going and what you're trying to accomplish while you're there. And that will keep you focused. And I always say, you know, dress a level up. You know, if you're a director, dress like you're a vice president. That keeps you focused. Watch how they dress and see where they're going and see what they're doing. And see what committees they're on and what committee were they on when they were a director. You know, so just be very strategic with your time. And that will drive you into the committees that you need to be on and where you need to go. And these are great conversations to have around performance, your performance time when it's time to do some developmental work.
Sure. So, that's what I would say. Kelly, we can talk for hours.
I know.
We're just beginning to scratch the surface of stuff. So we would certainly, I look forward to your next time. But tell us about
the book,
to get the book, how to reach out to you. And your co-author, and, you know, give us the details.
So great. So you can find the book on Amazon. You can look it up by the title, It's Work, How Will You Show Up? You can find it on Amazon by my name, the last name Cornish. You can find it by Kelly Cornish. You can find it by Myron Rolle, R-O-L-L-E. We both have our own individual websites. And I have a couple, but they'll all lead you to the same place. You can find me on kellycornish.com. You can find me on experiencingnext.com, myronroll.com. We're both on Twitter, so if any of those places, and they will all drive you to the book. So you can find the book there. The book is in all formats, iTunes, e-format, not audio yet. We're getting there.
Right.
But so that's how you can find the book. And
that book.
Yes, and it's really reasonable. It's $10 for the print. It's $4.99 for any e-format. So it's no reason why you should not get the book.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm going to get myself a couple of copies then. And that's Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y.
E-Y,
and Cornish is spelled C-O-R-N as in Nancy, I-S-H.
Correct.
And if somebody wants to reach out to you directly, best way to do that?
best way to do that is they can do that through the website. It'll go straight. They can get me through email.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they want to reach out to me on email, it's my name reversed at gmail.com. So it's
mm-hmm.
CornishKelly
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com. They can find me that way. But usually if you just go to the website, it'll drive you so many different
okay.
ways to
and,
find
and,
me.
And if someone is a CEO of me and owning their career and they send you a LinkedIn invitation telling you such, is that okay?
Absolutely. Love LinkedIn. Yes. I am all over LinkedIn. Yes.
That's great. Hey, Kelly, thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to having you back on and talking about, I mean, there's so many things we can cover. But you know, just appreciate your time and sharing about that. And congratulations on your book and all the things that you've done, and certainly the support you've given us throughout the years.
And likewise, thank you. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate you and all the work that you're doing to champion the network. Thanks so much, Rod.
Thanks, Kelly.
Okay,
all the best. And what we're going to do is we're going to go into mailbag. So as we were watching, many of you were watching the World Cup with all this extra time and stoppage time and all that. Well, we're going to go into mailbag time. So we're going to go into break now, and we'll be right back, and we'll take a couple of questions and bring Wanda on with a couple of questions from the mailbag. This is Rod Cologne with Own Your Career.
Your future customers are searching online for your product or service right now. What will they find? Will they find you? Chatterbuzz Media is an internet marketing agency that gets you noticed online. From mobile responsive websites, to search engine optimization, to social media, to content marketing, we can help. Call Chatterbuzz Media at 321-236-BUZZ. That's 321-236-2899. Or visit us online at chatterbuzzmedia.com.
Are you looking for a coach to help take your career to the next level? Or a motivational speaker to make your next event more successful? Then reach out to Rod Cologne, career coach and motivational speaker. Rod has a unique perspective on what it takes to succeed in today's global economy, a perspective built on over 25 years of experience as a corporate HR management insider, agency recruiter, master networker, motivational speaker, and career coach. In demand for his coaching and motivational abilities, Rod demonstrates the power of networking as a giving and sharing activity, and aggressively challenges professionals to be relentless in building their networking skills while managing their careers as a business. The CEO of Me Incorporated. To find out more about Rod's services, go to rodcologne.com or call 732-367-5580. That's go to rodcolon.com, rodcolon.com, or call 732-367-5580.
Welcome back to Own Your Career. This is Rod Cologne on Block Talk Radio, online at blocktalkradio.com/Own Your Career. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Producing our show tonight is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez. So go on ahead, Wanda. What questions do we have?
Yes, good evening in the stormy weather we're having tonight. So we have two mailbag questions. We have one is in regards to the resume. How long should a resume be? I know they said that back way back when, you know, too long is 3 pages, 4 pages, what have you, you know, or if it's too short, you know, how many pages? How long should a resume be, or does it matter if it was the length of a resume?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the resume, you want it to be relevant. So if you can have relevance in 2 pages or relevance in 4 pages, you're fine. The issue becomes when what you have on your document on your resume is your biography, which is you're telling them everything that you've done since college, which can run, you know, 2 pages, 3 pages, 4 pages. And there's a lot of information there that you believe is, and it is very important, but it's just not relevant to the role. Sometimes what that gives the resume reviewer is that you've done too much and would not be interested in a piece of what you've done. Many times when you write a non-relevant or what I call a generic resume, it leaves the outcomes. So you're giving them and sharing the experience, but you're not giving the what happened, the outcome, you know, the results, because of space. You're running into the spacing issues. So I would say that most resumes, you want to keep them to probably no more than 4 pages.
Okay.
But if I'm reviewing a resume and you're giving me everything that I'm looking for, not more, but what I'm looking for, is it okay if we go 4 pages or beyond? Yes, because you got someone who is extremely interested in what you've accomplished and what you've done. So I think size is less of an issue, and it's more of the quality, relevance, but specifically the outcome. And Kelly was mentioning before about things that you've done on other activities that may create some good quality discussion. You know, those things you want to keep an eye for as well. And this is where good business intelligence about people on the inside the organization and cultures do, I mean, corporate cultures do tend to like certain backgrounds. And I know of organizations that if you're in music, studied music, have done work or enjoy chess and have achieved a certain level of chess proficiency, they like to see that. So if you are able to pick up that type of business intel ahead of time and incorporate on the resume, that gains you an advantage.
Okay. Sounds good. So we have another question from Monica from Queens, New York. Monica says, so she followed up on with HR and expressed her interest in a position that and was asked if it would be if weeks or months or et cetera. And when should she expect to respond? They responded by saying that that she's still one of the top candidates, and that that she should know by the end of the month. So additionally, they said that if that she was offered something else, to let them know, and they would act accordingly. So her question to you is, if she goes back and says, well, what can we do? She'd go back and she says, if they say, what can we do to close the deal now? You know, I guess other language perhaps. How do you think it should be taken?
Yeah. I think we always talk about that in every interview, we go in with, as we're wrapping up with HR and we're wrapping up with the manager, that we always want to know, when do I have to follow up? We need a date. We want to secure that. So we say that if they don't give us a next step, that, you know, we're talking about days, weeks, and months. And that's what, you know, Monica was referring to. So they gave her a month, which is great. That's a good answer. And they indicated that, oh, by the way, if you find something else, let us know so we can go with plan B, plan C, or plan D. That's what they're looking at. So she's looking to close the deal. Well, we can't close the deal yet, because they're not really, you know, prepared to put it there. What I would do is, in a month, if they haven't responded, then certainly I have the okay to call them up and email them just to follow up and say that they're interested. What I would do is say, I would write a note back saying, thank you so much for the follow-up. I will follow up with you in a month. I'm very interested in this role. This is really the opportunity that I'm excited about, that I'm looking for. So you want to put some information there specifically about, you're the one, I love you job, I love you company without saying I love you, but I want them to feel the love, in essence, which I talk about. So that's the way I would work it out. Even though you may have eight other things, each organization wants to feel that they're the unique one in your eyes, and that's important for me.
Sounds good. Bye.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's a wrap. Wanda, thanks again for all that. If, for those who are staying here in this stoppage time, extra time here as we've been going through the World Cup, I lost power here in Jackson, New Jersey. We kind of knew about it that we may, getting all these alerts on the smartphone, these emergency alerts from the weather thing. So we set up a old-fashioned landline with a flashlight, and Wanda's in a completely different location, which is awesome, having access to all our monitors and all that, and we're able to do that. So with very, very little, loss of the show. So thanks again, Wanda, for the awesome job you did. You always do, and certainly for this evening. Couldn't have done it without you. And with that, we'll wrap up with the show. Thanks again to Kelly Cornish for being on, and for Anthony calling in, and for all the other questions into the mailbag. To find out more information on how to own your career, visit our website on rodcolone.com. For those who are listening in, one of the things we've just done over the last 6 weeks is there's a LinkedIn group now called Own Your Career with Rod Colone. Certainly you want to get to that. It's for level one connections on LinkedIn for me, and there's a lot of good information and best practices and everything. We take what's going on in the radio show into our LinkedIn group with discussions and that. So make sure you're part of that as well. I'd love to hear from you during the week. You can contact me on LinkedIn or email me at rod@rodcolone.com. I appreciate you, our listeners, especially those who took the time to call in, to email their questions. I know how difficult it is to own your career, to be the CEO with me, especially that mindset, that switch that has to be flipped to on. Thanks for listening in. And can't thank Wanda enough for producing tonight's show. God bless you. Keep the faith and networking alive. And until next week, this is Rod Colone with Own Your Career.